We're in. It's working.
Mm-hmm. You know who won't be working?
Who?
Potentially on April 11th, 2031.
Is that your day?
This guy, yeah. That's what I want to start with today. I don't know what possessed me. I think finally after 15, 16 years in teaching, I finally turned on my credentials with, what is it, OTP, whoever my retirement package is with. So I went in and kind of updated the profile and filled in all the fields. Hit enter, April 11th, 2031.
Wow.
Yeah. So 11 years, just over 11 years.
You looking forward to it?
I don't know. I'm still, it became a thing. It's, I have this thing with the way I kind of deal with projects or plans that are coming down the pipe. For the most part, I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing. So I can kind of open up that box, look at it, organize it, pack it back up, put it on the shelf, you know, sort of on the to-do shelf or the finished shelf. This one is not packed. It's kind of just all out on the table, kind of staring at me every time I walk in the room. I'm not stressing about it, but it's funny, just the idea of that being a possibility just opened up a Pandora's box of what ifs, you know, family life, dadhood. I was walking around yesterday thinking about what your purpose feels like when you don't have school around you, like when you don't have multi-sensory experience and it just draws on all energies. You don't have that. How do you satisfy that itch when you're not at school anymore? And no matter how much I'd like to believe, like, yeah, I'll just find something to do, it made me wonder, will I? Like, what should I start thinking about? Well, we've talked about this before. Like, what's the after teaching plan? Do you want to just be carried out of your grade 3 classroom on a stretcher? You just can't do it anymore. You know what I mean? And you hope you make it past that finish line into overtime kind of bonus round. Or do you want to pull up right on the line and say, I'm good. Now I got to do something else. So that's what's in that mess on that maker tool bench right now. I haven't found a way to pack it back up. And I kind of want to, because the secondary layer to me dealing with life stuff is that if I leave it out on the table too long and I get used to it just kind of sitting out there, then I start to lose some of the energy around, like I start losing the feels around it. And for better or for worse, I'm better when I have some strong feelings about a project that I need to get done. So just to have it out in front of me and not do anything anymore, it just becomes a mess. And then stuff gets stacked on top of it. I leave a couple other things out on the table and it just becomes mess. So this is something that I need to put some kind of pin in it before I pack it up. And it's 11 years out. But you do this thing that maybe dad's maybe done this too. Like my daughter's 11 and you go, geez, like it just seemed like yesterday. And you know, 11 years has passed, right? So 11 years is going to trickle by at laser speed, and then it's going to be 5 years. It's like, okay, yeah, that date's even closer, and then it's going to be 2030. I'm like, that decision's coming again, right? I gotta have some thoughts about that. 2031.
I don't know what I want to do with that can of worms that you just opened. I used to think when my day comes, I'm out. Now I don't know. I don't know because so much has changed in the years that I've put into EDU. Like the work has changed. The people around us have changed. The world has changed. I don't know what's going to happen I can go 2031 as well. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know I don't know what my life's going to look like. So I'm not, I don't know. I don't even know. Somebody said to me yesterday, they just called me right out and said, so when are you going to become an administrator? Like thinking that they know my life trajectory, my life path. And I said, I don't know. Like it's something that lives inside that I'd like to do. There's a lot of things I'd like to do. And I don't know if it's going to happen or not. It depends. You know?
Is there anything in you that you want to take control in that and make a decision? Like you want to say, because that's sort of the space I am. I'll keep it just about retirement. And I mean, thinking about that as an absolute day is, you know, it's kind of on point with planning out your wedding or what else? The birth of a child. Like it takes up a lot of space in your sort of thinking. Like you can't, I think when you finally cue into it, it's hard to look away. So part of me feels compelled to make plans and not just say, like, even if plans change, it's funny, I accept the fact that anything could happen and stuff could change. But do I mentally need to check in with who I am right now and admit that as of right now, this is what I'm aiming for? And it's funny, that even becomes a little bit, I find myself fickle. Because at one point I was far, far more confident. I was saying, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to keep working. I'll be pulled out on the stretcher. Right. And something just that doesn't feel satisfactory to me as I sit right here talking about it. Yet I still want to make, I want to have like an absolute decision. I almost feel like that's what puts it back in the box for now. So I say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to work out that school year. So when I take it out and I think about it right now, I'm going to work that school year. And then when I hit end of June, I'm going to sit out on my deck, have a glass of wine, take 2 or 3 days to think about my next step. And then I'm going to make a decision by the end of the first week of July, what I'm going to do next. Because it is one of those absolute finish lines that you can kind of, once you cross it, you can just hand in your papers, right? You can say, yeah, I'm good. I've had enough. Unless they change the rules and regs. Like you can kind of hand in your retirement. Hand in your retirement when you want after that. So it's a funny, but I feel even for when, as this past week, I needed to have some closure, some short-term closure on what I was going to do in April of 2031, and then just say, okay, I'm good. I can put it back up on the shelf. I've had my thoughts. I've had my moments. I'm not stressed out about it. I can kind of now wait to the next time that this moment hits me, which will probably be, here's the other kind of thing that was mind-blowing. It's like, I think about my retirement as only being me. Like it's the thing that only I'm going to go through. Yet, even as you said it right now, and a couple other people were saying, yeah, you know what? That's the same for me. 2031 is my year too. And you start to realize there's a cohort of us that are kind of moving in this herd towards retirement. Whole bunch of us. It got in my head. Part of the budgetary truth is that I might still have to work, keep working. I don't know what my kids' post-secondary aspirations are, but being able to support those and my own interests will be important. There's going to have to be something. Karen and I kind of talked about it. I think she originally was firm on, she's done, she's done. That's it. But who knows? The kids change everything. They really do. I think that was before we were really, really talking through what kind of support we were going to provide for our children into post-secondary.
I get that 100%. Where are the kids at? What are they doing? Mm-hmm. How can you support them? My only concern, is how tired I feel now and what that's going to be like in 11 years. Because, like, so my school is going through a boundary review and the process is starting now. And the plan is to have it all figured out so that in the spring, so that next fall, the boundaries will be changed and kids will be going to new schools. And yesterday, I saw a friend, I was out and about, and I saw a friend, a teacher, fellow teacher, and I was asked, you know, what do you think of this? And I did one of these. I did, like, I shook my head and I dropped my head. And the next question was, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing's wrong, but, like, I'm tired. I don't, like, am I going to have to move again? I don't know. Because I don't know how things are going to change with, we're going to lose students because we're busting at the seams. When you lose students, you lose staff. Everything shuffles, everything moves. Am I going to land in grade 2 or grade 3? I don't know. Do I want to do something else? No. So, you know, then you have the opportunity to leave. And I'm like, I'm tired. I don't want to move again. Like, I just don't want to do it right now. I'm not ready to do it. But, you know, if somebody says you're teaching grade 5, well, I guess I'm moving because I don't want to teach grade 5. So that was interesting. Like, I felt at that moment, I felt tired. I'm like, no, I'm tired. I don't want to pack up and move again. I just got here, you know? And so at the last school, when I moved there, I was hoping I'd be there for a while. But then, you know, they started a program there and I knew right away, this program's going to push someone like me out. And then there were other circumstances in my workplace that caused me to want to go. So when I left there, I was excited to leave because I just felt like even though when I got there, I could see myself staying for a long time. That wasn't the reality of the situation. But here, you know, I'm in my second year here and I like it and I like the grade I'm teaching and I like the kids I'm working with, but things are going to change. They have to change. And the school board's saying, well, we're making a change. Like, we are going to reduce your numbers by like 120 to 150. That means classrooms are going away. That means you're not going to have as many classes and grades. Where does that leave me? I don't know. But I was forced to think about it yesterday. I wasn't happy with it because I'm tired. And I think last year there was a couple of episodes where we just talked about how tired we were. Like, we were just tired. So I think, am I going to leave when I can? I don't know. But I have a feeling I'm going to be exhausted by the end of this. I do. It's mentally draining. It's we're constantly making decisions. And the support for us is not as strong as it used to be when I started my career. People, like, they see a teacher and all they see is summer's off. You know, that's all they see. And that's fine. Like, they're going to see what they want to see, but it's more than that. It's a lot more than that. So there you go.
I don't know if I'm queuing into, so a couple things. I don't know if I'm queuing into the same I'm tired factor. I am tired. I do find myself more, I don't know if I find myself more tired. What I'm finding is it's harder to recover from fatigue, which is, I mean, we could be talking about the same thing, but if I'm slicing up, for me, it's the, when I realize I'm tired, it used to be that it took very little to kind of like rejuvenate me. So yeah, relatively speaking, do I feel more tired more often? Probably. The second layer to that that I've noticed, which is more profound, is that it's a lot harder for me to kind of pull myself up by the bootstraps to kind of get back in the game again. Like, I find it could be, you know, maybe just a good night's sleep would have brought me back online again. And it's not, I don't know if that's, I don't think it's that easy anymore. Actually, I know it's not that easy anymore, because there's sometimes where it's like a couple days and I'm still feeling the same. I feel like I'm coming out of it still. Like, I'm still coming out of that mental funk. So, and I know right now in my day, the things that are drawing on my energies far more than others. Like, I know exactly, because I go into the moment, into the day, you know, a period of the day or a meeting in the day, and I'm like, this is it. This is the moment right here. It's this thing right here that I feel really draws me down. And this is the thing that my recovery time is impacted by. So I wonder to myself, though, if, and I think we've talked about this before, like, school really does regulate my life in a lot of ways. Like, I am, I'm not as disciplined in my life getting stuff done as I am when I'm at school in my work. So I'm often envious of my work side, because I feel like I can't always tap into it in my life. It's a weird little mindset. So then I think to myself, you know, if I'm retired, will I have difficulty accessing the energy that I need to sort of get my stuff done? Like, if I don't have school to tell me to get up in the morning, if I don't have the kids running into the classroom to sort of like light me up that way. These things I think about it in terms of how do I make sure that the stuff that I'm still digging about me as a teacher translate to me when I no longer have access to the classroom anymore. Messes with my mind. Just messes with my mind. Mute button.
Sorry, I pulled a cluff there.
It's all good. It's all good.
I was just saying to myself, I think it's funny that we're doing this podcast earlier this week than usual, and we're talking about being tired. Like, I went to bed later last night, and then this morning when I woke up, I initially opened my eyes, looked at the clock, and I'm like, no, I still have time. I don't need to roll out yet. And then, but you know, like, when I got up this morning for this, I wasn't feeling like, oh my God, I'm exhausted, I shouldn't be doing this. I wasn't feeling that at all. Which is interesting, because I don't always feel like that when I wake up for work.
Oh yeah.
It's a lot different. It's like, okay, get up and you gotta move, right? Like, you gotta move. There's no choice. There's choice here at the moment.
Does that make it more palatable in some way, or more possible?
Well, I'm waking up and I want to do this, right?
That's true.
Do I always want to go into work? No, but I do.
Family thanks you.
Yeah, right. My family thanks me. Speaking of family,
thank you without thanking you.
How was Halloween on your end?
Halloween was good, dude. Yeah, Halloween was good.
Your costume made me laugh.
Oh, the boys. Jake's your dinosaur. Costume. My costume. Oh, mine, the corn. Mr. C. Yeah, that's what people end up calling me that day. I was sort of, our school does a theme. And this year's theme was food. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they decided. I just kind of roll with it. And so food, I was like, okay, cool. Food it is. And then I totally forgot to do anything. Like I forgot to get my outfit. I forgot to sort of make any decisions about it. I think I put it in a box that I just wasn't paying attention to. So, I'm at Value Village on the Wednesday, and I take a peek in their what's left pile, and there's a corn costume. I'm like, that's good. And then it was discounted, which made it even better. It was half price. You know, they're trying to clear out all their stuff before. I'm assuming as I'm cashing out, I'm talking to the person, and they said, yeah, the boxes for Christmas are already in the back. Like, they're next. It's like, man,
crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, that's how the corn came to be. There wasn't as many people dressed up. Is that you? Do you, everyone dressed up at your school?
Yeah, there are a lot of people dressed up. Well, staff, yes. Students, it could go either way because we have a huge population of students that are frightened by Halloween.
I imagine.
They're frightened by it. They believe it's a negative experience.
Gotcha. That's not a well shaped out conversation, I think, in all schools.
This is the second year in a row where I've said to students, like, there's a handful that don't participate. They believe it's a negative thing. And I said to one of my students who is telling me, you know, my mom says, no, I'm not doing this. I won't be coming to school tomorrow. And I said, no problem. I said, but let me just tell you, like, let me tell you something. He's like, okay. I said, for me, like, at the end of the day, this is a night where kids get to go outside and ask people for free candy. And he looked at me, kind of cocked his head sideways. I said, so if you ignore the scary costumes and the way that this whole thing started, what it is today is you put on a costume and you go from door to door asking people for candy. And it was funny the way he looked at me. He's like, I like the way you broke it down into the simplest terms, right? Like, it's a night to go out and get candy, really, is how I see it. You could, but he does, you know, his family doesn't see it that way. But so I said to him, if you can ever convince your mom, that's what it is, free candy. And maybe that's, some people frown upon that too. Like, how dare we hand out garbage to kids, you know, for them to stuff themselves with all this sugar and chemicals or whatever. I mean, you could look at it that way too. For me, I think I've told you this before. It's the one night of the year where I say to my kids, I will go outside with you and I will stay out as long as you want in any weather condition so that you can go door to door and get this candy. And I love it. I love seeing my kids do it. I love seeing my kids hang out with their friends. And, you know, came home at night, dumped the bag on the floor, started checking the candy to make sure it was legit. It was fun.
That's cool that you dig it. This year was my year to stay home. Yeah, so the last 2 years, I was the one that walked with the kids. Which, again, just one of those, you know, you're working it out with the spouse kind of a thing. Who's taking the walk this year? Mm-hmm. And so I was handing them out. We did not have what I would say would be a bumper crop of kids this year. Mm-hmm. Weather, I definitely played into that, right? Weather was terrible. Between the wind and the wind and the rain, I was pretty surprised when I had, sort of like maybe five kids show up between 7:30 and 8, and then that was it. No more knocking on the door, nothing. So definitely not the year. Although, you know, on one hand, I was thinking still cool that some of the hardcore kids were still heading out. That was cool. So did you enjoy it? Did you get dressed up?
Oh, at school, I was a Pac-Man ghost.
Oh, I saw. Yeah. You posted something about that.
Yeah, so at my school, the teachers organized certain groups, and I was part of the Pac-Man group, so that was fun. I was just going to say, though, that so both of my kids, we left our immediate neighborhood to go to other neighborhoods this year. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because my wife told me when I came home with the youngest, she said that the neighbor across the street, he really likes Halloween, and so he sets up for it, and
like full house and yard effect.
Well, not this year wasn't as full as last year, but he has like what appears to be a dead body hanging from the light standard on the street. Like he does okay. A bunch of stuff, and he buys full size chocolate bars for the kids. Down, like up and down the street that he knows. So the kids always go there thinking we're getting good stuff from this guy because he knows us and he holds on to it for us. Well, this year, my oldest went to his friend's house and my youngest and I went to like a subsection of our community to meet up with other people. And my wife said that around 8 p.m., 7:45, 8 p.m., he came over, rang the doorbell. He's like, where are the kids? He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, they haven't come. Where are they? So he was like searching them out, like come over and get your candy kind of thing.
Right.
Which we both think is pretty cute. It just shows like he was really looking forward to having them come. And he said, well, they're both gone to different places this year. But don't worry. When they come home, we'll send them to your place. So, there's stuff like that I like people look out for each other, and it's part of a routine. Even though it happens once a year, it's still part of like what you do and how you do it. So yeah. That's cool. I feel like Halloween kind of snuck up on me this year. I don't know why. Remember when I was saying like talking about being tired? Yeah. I think like maybe a week ago, my wife said to me, actually, no, it was for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving arrives, and we're sitting at home, just chilling. And my wife says to me, so what did you do with your students at school for Thanksgiving? And I said, nothing explicit. And she said, me neither. And we kind of looked at each other stunned. Like, when I started my career, there were markers during the year, and you always made sure that you did something at that time for that situation.
Yep.
Thanksgiving came and went, and like there was nothing like what I would have done when I first started. And I think it's because there's just so much to do. Like my priority list, there's so much on it that talking about Thanksgiving just didn't make the cut. And the same with Halloween. It just kind of, because of the community I work in and the kids not really believing in Halloween or not really getting it or wanting to get it, it's like, it's just another day, really. And so my focus on numeracy and literacy and technology, it's like, it just takes priority because that's where I'm at. And it sounded like the same thing happened or is happening with my wife. And she's in a different community. Her community is like, I would say, all into Halloween. So I don't know. She was more into it than I was, for sure. But I just find that that's been happening a lot more in the last couple of years. Just those things are falling off. And it's like, But I know that mentally, I need to bring some of those things to the forefront because that's what makes me see the bigger picture. So that won't, it's not happening for Remembrance Day. I'm already talking about Remembrance Day. I made it clear to my kids that I personally won't be dealing with Christmas until Remembrance Day's over. And that was a really good conversation we had on Halloween, actually. Because, well, my students are participating in the school assembly on Remembrance Day. We're co-running it. And so we've been practicing readings and going over songs that we're singing and stuff. And somebody said something about, like, hey, Mr. C, did you know on November 1st, Christmas music's going to start playing on the radio? Yeah. And I said something like, yeah, like, I know that they do that. And they said, so what do you think of it? I said, I don't like it. And then they said, why? And I said, until November 12th, I don't like it. And then it's funny because some of them are just looking at me like, what are you talking about? And then the other ones are smirking because they know, oh, he's talking about Remembrance Day. And then that's when we had the conversation. I said, Remembrance Day is an important day for me as someone whose parents came from another country to this country to start a life. And so at the very least, I feel as though I need to be thankful and acknowledge the sacrifices that were made so that people like my parents could come here and live here free and happy and do what they want. And what's really awesome too about Remembrance Day is that at my school, there's a huge population of newcomers. And they can make a connection with me. And it was awesome because they were saying to me, your parents came from another country? And I said, yeah, just like your parents came from another country, just like you came from another country.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, it's not just what you've done is the intergenerational thing, which is cool. Connected even your experience, not just to the adults in the world, but your experience in some ways to the kids standing right in front of you.
And then the power of saying to them, you've done something I've never done. I do not have in my schema the learning experiences that you have that comes with moving from one country to another and starting a new school in a different language. I don't have that. So I lean on you for that. And then they're looking at me and they're all proud, right? Because they're like, we have something that he says is of value. I'm like, mm-hmm. It's of huge value. And so, you know, we had a great conversation about what happened in the wars and if it could have gone a different way and you would not be in this country right now. I would not be here right now. So I say to them, so what this boils down to is right after Halloween, my full focus is on Remembrance Day and they will have instruction around this topic for more than just the reason that we're running the celebration. But, yeah, I'm not touching Christmas until November 12th. Once Remembrance Day's over, then I can, and I love teaching about Christmas because these students, it's not the same as in other schools where everybody knew what Christmas was. It's different at my school right now. So that's fun. That's fun getting into the nitty gritty of that, but there are other things that are just passing me by. They're just passing me by. And, you know, some of the teachers say to me that, you know, progress reports after they're done, it's a huge weight off your shoulders. And I'm not feeling that. And I think it's because I'm on TPA. So my performance appraisal is supposed to happen near the end of this month. And I'm not too nervous about it, but I'm still nervous. Like I still have to plan a lesson and execute with my administrator in the room observing me. And he's not just coming in to visit. He's like at that moment in time, he's literally watching me teach. He's mm-hmm. listening to what I say. He's watching how I interact with my students. You know, he's looking for best practice, high yield strategies. Like he's looking for, is this guy doing a good job in here? So I still have to show him that. And then I still have to sit down and meet with him and talk to him about the work I do and why I do certain things and how I do certain things. So it is there is some anxiety that lives around it. So maybe when that goes away, I will have a different perspective, or I will feel refreshed. I don't know. But it's there. It's there.
My CPA is next year.
Oh, next year. Okay. Yeah.
Next year. For me, it's funny, the to tag TPA into what your next school year could look like with the challenges of enrollment. For me, it's, I sort of fall into that space of like, I don't know if I'm going to be staying at my current school.
Mm-hmm.
I still have the dream of getting closer to my house. I really do love the school I'm at. I really dig the people. The people are pretty phenomenal. Like the program that I'm doing. There's something though that I still have in my head about wanting to be closer to home and being able to walk to school. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to make that happen in this next year. I just don't know. I'd like to think like somehow I could sort of still make it happen. But there's a whole lot of, let's just say that all the contract stuff that's going on right now, it's kind of tough to be able to say for sure what next year is going to look like. But who knows? I might be able to find another position closer to home. I'm not sure though.
Do you have a lot of options? Like how many, do you have a high school that's right close to your house?
Yeah, I have a high school that's within like a 15-minute walk of my house. That's actually the high school I was at when I was doing the access program.
Oh, okay.
That's where the program was housed. It was housed at this particular school.
So you used to walk there?
Yep. I used to, I skateboarded. I rode my bike. I would walk my kids to school and then just keep on going. It will eventually be their high school if they decide that that's where they want to be. That's our catchment high school, so they can go there. So, yeah, I'd like to believe that I can make that happen. But when I think about the TPA, that would also mean that I'd be rolling into this new school and new teaching, whatever program I would have, and it would also be a TPA year, which I got to be honest, like I'm not... whatever courses I'm given, I'll build and I'll have them ready. But those would be potentially brand new courses from what I'm teaching right now. So it's more of an opportunity thing. I just don't know if the opportunity will be available to me, because right now, depending on availability, it's always interesting to see what pops up on the transfer list in the spring. Now, it's likely in advance of that, there's sort of two layers of our transfer list. Mm-hmm. The first part is the positions of responsibility. So the department heads, they get their kind of moment first. And when all the department head positions are decided, then they sort of look to see how people are going to be shifting around into these leadership positions. And then they know about what other positions are potentially available. So... and that list of department head positions will be released sometime in November. Like, so that's going to be coming out soon. And it is likely that I'm going to put my name in for a headship, probably in spec ed somewhere, or an assistant headship.
But doesn't that mean you're going to get moved?
Yeah. Well, but that's if I'm successful, because you still have, I would have to go interview.
Okay.
So you interview and then from there. But I'm hoping that the school right near my house is going to be hiring for one of those positions. And then all the other stuff you don't find out about, like I won't know about I won't know about regular transfers until the spring. So
the headship thing.
Yeah.
It seems like a major move.
Well, I mean, in what way?
The added responsibility, the potential, like physically moving to a new location.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're ready for that? You're good for that?
Well, I was department head before I went to, as far as the scope of leadership, I understand it. I understand, like, curriculum specific stuff aside, I get the scope of doing a leadership position within the school. I was doing the alt ed headship for 6 years. I think it was 6 years I did it for. So I get that part. There's elements of spec ed that are obviously, they're actually far more, there's a lot more bureaucracy in spec ed than there was in alt ed. But yeah, I'm down with that. It's just, you know what, I look at it as like, that's the new learning. That's the next step in learning that you got to deal with. So, and I'm cool with rolling with that. I'm not too bugged by the idea that, I'm going to have to take on new responsibilities. I'm fine with that.
That's funny. So I didn't know that you were thinking that. So you're thinking, you know, this nice move in terms of like, you're ready to shift. And I'm sitting over here thinking, oh no, my school's going to change because they're doing a boundary review. And I don't know what that means for me. It's just interesting, the yin and the yang. You seem really into it, whereas I'm like, oh, do we really have to do this? Oh, but, well.
Well, I will say I can easily admit this. There's something broken in me, though, as far as I don't have this thing in my head like I have to keep doing the work that I'm doing where I'm doing that work. And it's, you know, other teachers feel differently. They want to stay at the one school and keep teaching in that one department. And that's their happy place. I'm more curious. I don't mind going to a new school. I don't mind dropping into a brand new staff, a brand new regimen, having to figure out all the rules all over again. It does not bother me at all. I'm really quite, it doesn't cause me any anxiety whatsoever. I'm fine with it. And I know that's not the case for everybody. Not everybody is down with that idea. They want change, like they're good with change, but they kind of want it in a very specific kind of measurement. And I'm saying this just from conversations I've had, like when I've told people that I've been at kind of three different schools right now, you know, often the response is, wow, that's hard, man. Like that's hard. And it potentially was kind of four schools, because when I got surplused back in my second or third year of teaching, I actually got a job at another school. I went and I interviewed and I got that job. And then I was recalled and I had to make the decision as to whether or not, do you know about the surplusing? Have I sort of explained that before on the cast?
Like your personal experience?
Yeah. Or just in general. I don't think I've ever kind of dropped into that.
I don't think you have.
Yeah, so surplusing happens when, as you mentioned before, enrollment goes down at a school. And then according to the seniority level of that school, there may not be enough teaching positions for the number of teachers that we have. So surplus means there's extra teachers to students ratio. So in some cases, what that can result in is you still have a job with the board, but if you don't go and interview for one of the open positions, you'll be placed somewhere. So I thought, in advance of just being placed somewhere, I'm going to go and interview for one of the positions, and I got one. So that was back in the day. I can't remember, maybe back in 2006 or something like that, 2007. So I connected with four different schools, and I like the fact that I can go and meet new people and meet new students and see what this is the other part that I really, really dig, is my street credit, what I've learned about my teachables, whether it's hospitality, guidance, spec ed, now working in an ASD community classroom, being able to see what those skill sets look in different contexts has been really important to me. and that kind of reminder of the distance of growth that I still have to go, like the learning that I still have to do. I've come to recognize that I may be good at my job and believe that I'm good at the work that I do, but that there's also the possibility that I'm only good at what I'm doing where I'm doing it. And when you meet new people, negotiate new relationships, meet new parents, encounter new leadership, that's where you really, for me, that's where I really see the depth of my toolkit. And often that was something a couple times in teaching careers and doing some guidance counseling, I would tell students that quite openly, like, you really don't know the strength of your student skills from secondary until you hit post-secondary. And then you see what's transferable. When you do a lateral move as a teacher, so to another school, you don't improve if you choose to keep your skill sets exactly as they were from your former school. And I've met some people like that. Like, they're kind of still doing some of the same stuff. And for some people that works. And for other people, I've seen them kind of struggle a bit. Like, they're trying to hold on to the version of themselves from just, you know, their previous landing. So yeah, man, I'm all good with that. I'm all good. If someone were to say to me, Clef, we're going to transfer you to another school. And, you know, even in the transfer you to another school, and let's say I didn't have a choice, I'd be okay with that. I'd be fine. I'd figure it out. Would I try and make a plan to get to where I want to go? Yes. But I would figure it out.
Good to know, Clef. Good to know.
It's just a thing. Yeah.
If somebody told me I'd have to move,
yeah,
I'd be sad. I'd be sad because I like what I'm doing right now where I'm doing it.
Yeah. And
what comes, like, I don't know, different things come with it, right? Like, how much farther from home will I be? What are the start times of the school? You know, who's going to help me pack my 50 boxes of books?
Yeah.
Like, I tell you, though, there's some things like, well, you've been to my school. You saw all the stairs. I probably would end up in a bungalow school, right?
What's that mean?
But like one floor.
Okay.
The school I'm at now has like 5 levels and stairs everywhere. So, you know, it can be a killer for new people. And the start time is not desirable at all. We're one of the latest starting schools in the board. So I suspect a different school is not going to have as many stairs and is going to have a better start time. But I don't like the idea of not having choice in such an important decision for me in terms of location, administrator. You know, like, you're just going to put me somewhere? There's a list of administrators that I'd love to work with. There's a list that I'm not interested in working with, and I have no choice in the matter. So things like that, I consider, you know, at the end of the day, I have to go to work, but I'd like to have some say over where I go.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know my life.
Yep.
It's important that I don't end up 30 minutes away from home. I'd rather not do that.
Yeah, that I will say that part is tough. It's interesting because I've had a few, like, I got close to that being close to home. I mean, when I made it to the school that I was at prior to my placement, and then I shifted, people were like, what are you doing? You finally got what you're looking for, which was to be close to home. But it wasn't a permanent option, because the close to home came with it was only a 3 to 4 year term. So it's almost like, to be able to launch successfully out of that, I had to take a leap. Like, I had to leap to get a program that I was interested in, because I would have been placed coming out of that program at any school that sort of needed me, right? So that was a whole, that was an interesting process because people are like, what are you doing? You finally got what you're looking for, which is to be close to home. I said, yeah, but it's a temporary close to home. It's not a permanent close to home. So everyone thought that I was being a little strange for jumping out of that program right away. But I'd have to admit, like more tactical than anything. It really was. It was tactical.
Nice. I remember, now that we're talking about this, I remember years ago when I felt a little bit more flexible, a lot more flexible. Like, for example, in our postings, sometimes you get a posting and it's for 1 year only.
Yeah.
So you jump ship from where you're at. You get a job at another school and the term is 1 year and then you got to jump again.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of times in my career, those 1 year jumps looked interesting to me. They looked fascinating because it's like, okay, I know I want to leave where I'm at and I don't really know where I want to go, but there's something about jumping, being dropped into a place for 1 year. I mean, things can change and, that 1 year could turn into you just stay there until you decide you want to transfer out again. But there was something exhilarating about that. And I remember feeling that a couple of times in my career. What if I just leave here, do that for a year, and then look for another job again? But those don't appeal to me anymore. No. I mean, and maybe that's because I'm in a good situation right now. Like I have admin that I trust. I have coworkers that I feel like I connect with. We work well together. I'm not far away from home. You know, maybe if I was far from home and I was working with an administrator that I didn't have a good relationship there. It's like, okay, well, it's time to go. And I'm not ready for a permanent move, but I'm good to go for 1 year. Drop me somewhere. Chances are I'll be closer to home. And let me do it for a year and see what happens. Right. And then that whole thinking for a year, you go and if you don't like it, well, you know, you're leaving. Right. Like there's a lot of bonuses to the 1 year. You get out of a situation you're in that maybe you don't like. You get a bit of a break, you get to re-energize and go on again. So I just remember those seemed really attractive at one point in my career. And now I see them and I just skip over them and keep going. I don't bother giving them the time of day like I used to.
Sometimes the conversations, and I enjoy these ones because I like to sort of hear colleagues' perspective on their own resiliency. I really appreciate that when they sort of share those kind of moments, like where someone's talking about wanting to leave a place, wanting to leave a particular job. And they just can't put their finger on it, as in like they want change, but they're not willing to make the big change. Like they're sort of saying they want a specific position. And I've looked at the list. I'm like, well, there's one at this school. And then they're like, yeah, but I like hearing the reason that they justify for not moving schools. And I really appreciate those conversations when someone kind of walks me through that, because there's so many little things that I've come to accept that, you know, it might be no biggie for me, but that's entirely contingent on how Karen and I have organized our lives. Like we're living kind of centrally in our board. So there are some schools that would definitely be more problematic to get to, but because of where we're positioned, you know, nothing's entirely off the table. And, you know, we're privileged in that our kids' school, so our own kids' school, the daycare's right there. So because the daycare's right there and they can stay till 6 o'clock, like that's pretty sweet. We can drop them off at 7 a.m., which if I were to drop my kids off, and I did this week, drop them off at 7 a.m., I can still make it to my high school because, and it's an early start high school and not be late for work. Like that's pretty good. So that I get those kind of things, but I'm always fascinated when people say that, to listen to the reasons why they're not prepared to make a move for the changes that they want in their actual day to day. I like to hear the reasons. I like to sort of have those conversations. I feel like I get like a glimpse of the teacher's soul a little bit when people talk about those things, like really what's at the heart of their value system. It feels like rich conversation. It feels like something that kind of, you're kind of getting a peek at what really composes this person when they're prepared to talk about making school change, making work and life change.
Speaking of changes, mm-hmm. I think that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Season 3, episode 8. And I appreciate you being flexible with your schedule.
No, you too, because I was the one that threw the curveball in this week. So, yeah, I appreciate that you're able to make it work.
It made me laugh out loud, actually. I looked down at my phone. I'm like, you're just like, yeah, Saturday's out. I'm going into full dad mode. Sunday good? And I'm like, no, Sunday's not good. Sunday, I've got full dad mode. And then here we are. We made it happen. So thanks for that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the flexibility. And I mean, when it happened, I mean, when we're sort of negotiating it out, I thought to myself, well, this is kind of like, this is how it happens. We just try and make it work. there's no harm, no foul. It's just about trying to get the best possible setup for both of us to get to our conversation each week. Mm-hmm. So, and it's that flexibility that I think has definitely sustained our conversation. For me, it's sustained it for me. So
it works for me too, man.
Cool.
Do you want to show us your picture before we go? I know we didn't do that last time.
Yeah, let me just get the last little.
The last little bit. I really like the last one with our heads coming out of the music box. That was cool.
I think you'll like this one.
What if I don't? You won't care, will you?
No, I'm all good if you don't like it. Yeah, I don't. I'm okay if you don't like it. But I think you'll be good with it. Dare we talk next week about political stuff?
Actually, I was gonna bring it up about 10 minutes ago, and I decided not to. But I'd love to know more about Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, I think there'll be something worthwhile to talk about next week. There's something worthwhile to talk about it any week, but I think next week, some of the action that's happening with our unions, we'll have probably something to chat about. Excuse me.
I'm loving that we're all on the same page.
Yeah,
I'm loving that.
Yeah, that's pretty profound, I thought.
Because we're having a strike vote in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, same with us. All right, here we go.
Oh, geez. What is behind the door? Did you put writing on the floor? Like with the doors opening? Oh, okay.
Just a little dangerous. A little something when you just get beyond the light. That's what I was thinking. It's a little sharp and spiky.
Nice.
You okay with that one?
I'm good with that one.
All right.
Reminds me of my childhood.
We'll do therapy next
That's
week.
That's for another episode. Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for the combo.
You too. I'm not touching the controls,
dude. All right. That's right. I always forget that I'm the one that has to hit that one up. Okay, here we go.
See ya.
Yeah, safe hands.